Praise the Lord. Message number 48. The title of the message is Going Back to Bethlehem. Let's open our Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And let us read from verse 1 to verse 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in a cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We do pray, O Lord, that you anoint us and you guide us. Let your word be clear to each and everyone. Anoint my lips and put word in my tongue and my lips to speak your word to your people. Let everyone understand your will, O God, and what you want him or what you want her to know and to do. Make it very clear, O God. Lord, the purpose that you send this message, we pray, it shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, we pray for wisdom upon your people who hear the message and a true obedient heart to apply it faithfully. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Why they need to go to Bethlehem? You know, it is a long journey to move from from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, to the town of David. It's a long journey. Joseph and Mary, they have to go through. Mary, she was pregnant. She was expecting her firstborn. And then a rule came from the government that everyone should go to his own, to his hometown to be registered there. And the people, they may ask, why like that? Or Joseph and Mary, they ask, Lord, why like that? It is so tiring and it's not enough to be pregnant, but to travel a long distance to be registered. Or sometimes you also ask the Lord certain question, Lord, I am working hard, I am doing a lot of things for you, but Lord, then why you allow such things to happen in my life? Why I need to travel? Why I need to move? Why I need to be shift? Sometimes you cannot understand. And sometimes we have a lot of a question with God. Why I need to do all these things? What is the need for it? What is the necessity of it? The same may be in the mind of Joseph and Mary. Why we need to travel this long distance? It is not possible that I will give birth here, or it is not possible that I will stay in the city of, in the town of Nazareth and stay there. It is not enough. It is not this, it is Is it necessary that I need to go to Bethlehem? That was the question, maybe. And maybe that's the same question in your mind with God. Why God is allowing certain circumstances in your life to move you, to direct you. But there's a purpose. There is a purpose in the mind and in the plan of God. Why Joseph and Mary, they need to go to Bethlehem? Because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And we know that from the scripture why Mary and Joseph, they need to go to Bethlehem. Maybe in their mind that they can go quickly and come back to give birth in the city, in the town of Nazareth. But God had another plan, that his son Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem. In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Here very clear that Bethlehem is a small town, small city. It's the one of the small clans of Judah. But out of it, the ruler of the people of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ruler over Israel, over all the believer who follow him and walk faithfully with him. And according to God's word, he need to be born in Bethlehem. You know what he say here, very beautiful here. "Whose origins are from of old." He is God the Son. He was from the beginning with God the Father. From ancient times. So even from ancient times, it's ordained that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And that is the truth and fact and the word of God. So here when this rule coming from the government that that Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, that was not an haphazard decision. That decision was ordained by the Lord so that Christ would be born in the place that the Lord had already ordained before the beginning of the world. There are certain things in our hands. There are certain things we need to do. But there are other things are ordained by the Lord, and we need to follow him. What is your part? Your part to abide with God and his plan and his will for you. Don't be upset about certain rules, about certain regulations, about certain requirements. That is the way that God is watching over his word to be fulfilled. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 and we can read in verse 12, "The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." So the Lord was watching that his word to be fulfilled. How he will move Mary and Joseph from Nazareth of Galilee to Bethlehem. The only possible way, or one of the possible ways, was in the hand of God, was to order an census that everyone should go to his own place to be registered. And while she was there, she was expecting. While she was there, she gave birth to Christ. Because that was the will of God, that he should be born there. the wise men who came from the east. In Matthew chapter 2, the Magi's or the wise men who came from the east, they came to Jerusalem because they were asking about the king. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw the star in the east and have come to worship him. They were the Magi were expecting that the Christ as a king, he should be born in the capital, in Jerusalem. So they went to Jerusalem, they went to Herod palace, they met Herod and they asked him, where is the king? And when Herod hear about it, he got disturbed. Not only he and all Jerusalem with him, and he called all the teacher of the laws and the high priests and the Pharisees, and he asked them what was his question to them. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. That is in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, the street, when he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Verse 6, that is the quotation from Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. So they called the scripture and they told him he must be born in Bethlehem. Verse 7, then Herod called the Magi's secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. In verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. He sent them to Bethlehem. Why he did not go? Bethlehem is a town, it's a small village, it's a very small place, and is the least things that people should think about it. He's a king. He cannot go to small spaces, to smaller places, or infamous places. Whom he sent? He sent the wise men. The wise men were willing to go to Bethlehem and make a careful search, because they are wise people. They want to meet Christ. And what else in the life of those men, the wise men, the Magi's? They were humble. They were humble. And because they were humble, they were able to accept to move from Jerusalem, the capital, and move down to a small village or small town. There is no such facility as they could find in the capital, in the big city. But they were happy to go there because they want to meet Christ. Which time your life will be a blessed? When you meet Christ face to face and worship him. When you seek him, you will find him with all your heart. As you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will be found by him. Humility is very important. To go to Bethlehem, it needs humility. You need to humble down so that you can search for Christ through his word and you can meet him. You know, Joseph and Mary, they were humble people. They accept that the will of God, they need to travel. They obey rules and regulation, because that is the plan of God, that we need to obey rules. And when we obey the rules and the regulation, then God can lead us to do his will Perfectly and precisely. The Magis were humble people also. They were willing to suffer and to go and search and reach a small town or village. And they were able to find Christ. They found him in Bethlehem. The Pharisees and the teacher of the law, they know the word of God. But why they did not move to Bethlehem? Because they are not humble. They have a pride, they have boasting, they have arrogance. And here, we found here that Christmas, the birth of Jesus, those who will enjoy Christmas are the humble people. Christ is born in their life, in their heart, and they receive the blessing of the Lord in their life. In Jeremiah chapter 29, and let us read from verse 11 to verse 14, going back to Bethlehem. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. In verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you and bring you back from captivity. Now here, which time you can meet the plan of God when you humble down? Going back to Bethlehem, it needs humility. It needs submission to God's will and plans. Need full obedience to God's word, decrees, statutes and instructions. Then you will be able to meet Christ and be found by him, and the Lord will bring you back from captivity. He will release you from bondages and from slavery. That's here the importance of going back to Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem is the house of bread. Bethlehem is the place of bread, or the house of bread. And for us, the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, which bread we eat the word of God. In John chapter 6 and verse 48, Jesus say, I am the bread of life. We need to come to the Lord. We need to come to his word. Then we can enjoy the blessing of God. John 6, 48, I am the bread of life. We will read, we will continue. Verse 49, your forefather ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Now here, going to Bethlehem is going to the house of bread, and Jesus say, I am the bread, is to meet Christ. And how we meet Christ? We read his word, we accept his word, we ingest and digest and absorb and live his word. That's the way for us. As a true follower of Christ, we follow Christ by obeying his word. We go back to Bethlehem, we meet Christ, we receive God's blessing, we get restored to God's plan and God's will and God's way. when we abide with His word and His instruction. Is Bethlehem mentioned in the Old Testament? Yeah. One of the books that is Bethlehem mentioned is the book of Ruth. Ruth is one of the book in the Bible. There's a story that had happened in at the time of Judges. We will read it from verse 1 to verse 5, chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 5. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathite from Bethlehem, Judea. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now here there was a famine had happened. This family, they were living in Bethlehem in the house of bread. There was some famine. So they want to get relief, some relief for their life. So they decide to go to Moab. Moab is a worldly things. But people, they want to go, so they think that they can get relief from their problems. So without discretion or without God's decision or will or plan, this family move to a place that God had not ordained. They move from the right place, Bethlehem, the house of bread, to Moab. They thought that they will have relief and they got success or prosperity. But let us read what happened. Verses 3 to verse 5. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite woman, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Now here what had happened. They thought that their problem would be solved. Their problem get more complicated. The more you are away from the word of God, the more you are away from the sound teaching, that means you are away from Bethlehem, the more your life will become more difficult and hardship. They face death here. They go and marry non-believers, and the two sons die. So, and there's no blessing, there's death. They don't have children, they don't have descendants till now because of disobedience to the Lord. In verse 6, when she heard, that's Naomi, in Moab, that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-law prepared to return home from there. They decided to return because they heard that God finally had come to bless his people in Bethlehem. Sometimes God allows certain trials in your life, but that does not mean that you need to leave the word of God and the will of God and do your own. God wants you to stay with him, with his word, with the sound teaching. Continue to obey until the Lord will come and bless you. Now here, finally, Naomi and Ruth, because Orpah was convinced not to go back to Bethlehem. So finally, in verse 19, so the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. So finally, they reached Bethlehem, both of them, Naomi and Ruth. Verse also in verse 22, so Naomi returned from Moab accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. So here we find that when we go back to Bethlehem, when we go back to the Word of God, there's a harvest, there's a blessing awaiting for us. Why this family need to go back? Why this particular family need to go back? Yes, this is the plan of God. This is the will of God. But what is awaiting for them? What is waiting for them, and why they need to go back? Because they have land. And in Israel, when somebody die and he has no children, his widow, someone will marry. It's not someone, the near relative. The Bible called kinsman redeemer should marry that woman, and he will get the land, so the land will be restored. It will not go to the other people. And also, the firstborn that he has, he will name it after the dead person, so that the dead name, the dead person who is the name of the dead person, will not be erased from the records of the genealogy. And his inheritance will continue to go to his descendant. One of the kinsman redeemer of Noemi family, of Elimelech family, is Boaz. So after they reach Bethlehem, Noemi had instructed Ruth to approach Boaz, because he is the kinsman redeemer, and Boaz did God's will, and he married Ruth. They get married, and that kind of marriage is ordained by the Lord. After they get married, they get a son. They call him Obed. And we know Obed is the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of David. Now here we understand why they need to go back to Bethlehem. Is why this particular family need to go back? Because that is the will of God. Sometimes you can't understand God. Why God wants me to go back? Why God wants me to do this? Why God wants Joseph and Mary to travel long distance to get registered? That is his plan. That is his will. That is his ways. Ruth should go back with Noemi. Boaz should marry Ruth. So they will have Obed, then Jesse, then David. And David is the forefather in the flesh of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you read the genealogy of our Lord, from Adam until you pass through Obed, you pass through Boaz, Obed, Jesse, and David. The plan of God, that this family, they need to go back to Bethlehem. God's word and God's will and plan should be fulfilled. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Bethlehem also is mentioned. At that time, Saul was the king, but he was rejected by the Lord. And Samuel was crying and mourning for Saul. So the Lord told him, the Lord said to Samuel in verse 1, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king of Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Now here, mention Bethlehem. So here the plan of God, see how it's smoothly going on. When Boaz stayed and Obed stayed in Bethlehem and Jesse stayed in Bethlehem and David born in Bethlehem, Samuel moved with the plan of God to anoint David as a first true king for Israel. Going back to Bethlehem, we receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So going back to Bethlehem is receive the word of God, meeting Christ, going back to the plan of God, doing God's will, and in addition receiving the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Going back to Bethlehem is to fulfill the scripture. All these things we cherish and we should acknowledge and live. Going back to Bethlehem is to receiving Christ and Savior and Lord. Going back to Bethlehem is to receive Christ as the bread of life, that the true food that we need for our soul and spirit. You know, in John, he did not speak about the Lord's Supper, but in John 6, he say, let's open John 6. We had this some of these verses earlier. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. When we do the Lord's Supper, the Lord say, do this in remembrance of me. The spiritual meaning of the Lord's Supper here is to receive His word, so that when we take the Lord's Supper, we need to live His word. When we are not in abiding and in doing God's will and living His word, we are unfit to receive the Lord's Supper. We receive the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the Lord. When we are fully obedient, then that is the time that we are fit and eligible to receive the breaking of bread. In verse 53, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh, in verse 54, and drinks My blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh, in verse 53, is real food, and My blood is real drink. Verse 56, whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood remains in Me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on Me will live because of Me. Verse 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefather ate the manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. That's why we need to go back to Bethlehem, to the word of God, feeding on the word of God. That is how we partake the Lord's Supper in a spiritual and a real meaning. In addition, we are taking the Lord's Supper in physical way, the bread and the cup. Going back to Bethlehem is to have fellowship with the Lord, to meet the Lord face to face, to have communion with the Lord. What we need to be wise like the wise man. To think wise is to go back. We need to be obedient like Joseph and Mary, and willing to suffer for Christ. We need to be humble as the magis, when the Pharisees and the teachers and Herod, they were not willing to go, but the wise men from the east, they were willing, because they were a humble people. We need to be people who repented, like Noemi, who repented and decided to go back to where she belonged, to Christ and to His Word, to the house of bread. We need to go to the sound, go back to the sound teaching. You will not find the blessing of the Lord. You will not have harvest in your life unless you repent and go back to the sound teaching, to the Word of God, and there you will find the true blessing flowing. And when you are there, then you will find also the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as Samuel anointed David as a king, as he was in Bethlehem, as you are returning, repenting, humbling yourself, seeking the Lord, willing to obey and living in obedience, then the anointing of the Holy Spirit will flow in your life. Why we need to go back to Bethlehem? In Luke chapter 2, and let us read verse 8 to verse 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 11. When the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in a cloth and lying in a manger." The good news the angel announced to the shepherds. And that good news directed them to go to see in the town of David. Town of David is Bethlehem, to see the Savior who born to them. Verse 15, when the angel left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried, verse 16, off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what he had been told them about this child. Verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. When the shepherd went to Bethlehem, we see here those who went to Bethlehem are the humble people. The angel appeared to humble people. They were willing to follow God's will. They went to Bethlehem. They were happy to hear that Christ born, the Savior born. They were happy to go and meet him. And when they went there, what did they receive? When they left Christ, what did they receive? When we read verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They received the message. Now hear, which message me and you we can bring to the world around us? Which message? The message about Christ. How we can bring the message? We need to go back to Bethlehem, where there is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the house of bread, the sound teaching, the Word of God, the will of God. When we obey, when we seek God, when we humble down, when we show discretion and accept God's will and plan and ways, we get the message. We meet Christ, we meet Him face to face, and then we receive the message and we go with a convincing message. We are convinced with the Word of God. We live it joyfully in holiness, and we go forward being a good example and changing the world around us with the message that we receive from him. And the Lord would confirm his message to the people that we carry the message to them. Let's go back. You hear the message and you are away from the Lord, doing your own will and plan. It's time for you that the Lord is calling you back, to come back to him. You are struggling with all your energy to continue to obey the Lord. Continue to do that. You are arrogant, humble down. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Show wisdom and seek God and find him. If you are in sin, go back to the word of God. Go back and repent, renounce all your sins. And the very word that you had rejected, God is calling you to accept that message. Look intently to the word, to the law of freedom, the word of God. And you will be blessed in all what you do. And you will be filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you will receive the message. And you will live the message, and you will enjoy the message, and you will share the message, the good news, with the people around you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. I pray that your word will bring you glory and honor. Lord, I pray that you will receive, O God, the harvest in the life of your people. More committed people, more people to repent, O God, and coming back to you. More people will receive Christ. More people, O God, they will meet you face to face. More people to get filled with the Holy Spirit and carry the message, to evangelize and reach the lost. Lord, take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and let the purpose shall be accomplished. I pray for a fruit 30, 60 and 100 harvest in the life of your church and your people. I pray everyone who commit his way to you, bless that brother or sister, O God, and equip and provide so they will fully obey you. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hands be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we may not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Christ's name, amen and amen.